have me to share today. Last week, just really shared some things that I think were a help to us in this new year. And then I thought and even considered that message for today, but the Lord really just encouraged me to continue in our study in Philippians that I think will be a help to us in this coming year as well, as we continue to study through, just taking the book of Philippians verse by verse, section by section, as the Lord will speak through it, right? And this letter to the Philippians has been an encouragement to me already as I study and prepare, and I trust that it will be a help to you this morning. It really is talking about a relationship to God in Christ. It's really a major theme of this little epistle or letter, as the word epistle means, to Christ and then to one another, and talks a lot about that. Because Paul, as he writes from a Roman prison or house arrest, the thoughts are historically, he mentions that in verse 7 of chapter 1, both in my bonds, he talks about it there in verse 13, again, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. So he's talking about being bound or being under some sort of binding anyway, limited in some way because of that. But he never wavered even through the difficulties in his witness and service for Jesus Christ. And even in this time, he would write these letters, these prison epistles, as they're called, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And he would write these letters to these churches, to these people that he loved dearly. And his love for Christ brought joy and rejoicing, the other major themes of this book that we'll pick up as we go. And all of that is tied together in this letter. And that's really all of those are great focuses for us in the coming year, right? Our relationship in Christ, and then the joy and rejoicing that we have to our Lord, and then also to one another, right? In the church, in our families, all of those things come together. So Paul faithfully served the Lord, and we need to as well, to just faithfully serve God. As the great verse, I think it almost could be taken as a theme verse from this letter, chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain, right? So that what a great theme that would be for us in this coming year, to just live for Jesus Christ. Last time we were in the book of Philippians was a bit ago, and we looked at verses 3 to 6 of chapter 1, what we call persuaded praise. We continue in verse 7, which really, verses 7 and 8 really are a continuation of the same thought, but we'll look at it this way, of partnership in prayer, partnership in prayer. So he's expressing and remembering, you may remember this as well, as we've kind of worked through the first part of the chapter, he's expressing to them just that how much he remembers them and how much he loved them and what God was doing in their midst. And he is rejoicing in that. Verse 6 is really the theme of that section, being confident is very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we kind of ended there back a bit ago, but we want to continue. And as it continues in verse 7 today, he continues to talk about this partnership that they have together for Christ in the local church. And then as a result of that, they are praying together for one another as the body of Christ. Both of those things is really the focus of what I want to share with you from the Word of God today. I want to encourage us all in those things to be partnering together and serving God in here, in this church, in Stratton, in the coming year. And as a result of that, or part of that, we could say, you will be praying together for one another as you move ahead, right? Whatever God has in store for us this coming year, we ought to be partnering together and we ought to be praying together. Are you following me? All right, so that's the theme of this whole section, verses 7 to 11 is what we're going to attempt to cover this morning. Lord, help us, right? So let's pray for his help as we begin this morning. Lord, we thank you again for your word, this passage before us this morning. I thank you for this church, this local church that you have put in this place for this time and this day. And I pray that, Lord, we would all realize our responsibility to join together, to partner together in unity as the body of Christ and serve you and represent you to the people around us. And I pray that, Lord, also as an extension of that, that we would be praying together. And, Lord, that we would pray for one another. And, Lord, as we examine and study and learn from this passage this morning, I pray that you would help us to open our hearts to the truth that you have for us to learn. And that, Lord, as a result of that, we would be changed by it. Truth will change us. And I pray that this morning it would. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see, first of all, what in verse 7 and 8, the partnering relationship. The partnering relationship. Okay, so verse 7 and 8. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Do you catch, even in the reading of that, the heart of the Apostle Paul as he would write to these people that he was remembering and rejoicing about their relationship that they had, and you catch his heart for them, do you not? You ought to, as we read that, and we'll study through it as we work through it. It's a very deep relationship that Paul had for those dear people. So the first thing that we see, this partnering relationship, is that it was right. It was right. Okay, and I get that from the word in verse 7, the word is meat. The word is meat. Now, that's not meat like a good steak or something, right? It is meat, and that word is not just meeting together, but it's the idea of fitting, or it's proper, it's a suitable thing. It's the right thing, all right? This relationship that they have, he had for them, and they had for him, it was right, it was fitting, it was the right thing to do. And to love one another, to serve together, and to partner together for Jesus Christ, let me say this, it's the right thing to do. You got that? I hope so. It is the right thing. You know, the devil has a heyday when there is disunity and dysfunction in the local church. Just like there is in a family, right? When there's dysfunction causes disunity. And that, we don't want that in the body of Christ in the church. We don't want it in our families either, do we? But we don't want it, and Paul doesn't want it in the church. It's the right thing for us to partner together and to work together, to serve together for the Lord Jesus Christ. So much of the fussing and fighting that goes on in local church, in the local church, or really in any organization, but we're dealing with the church this morning, really are such foolish things. Such foolish things that don't really matter for in eternity. And I'm just speaking honest. I've been through it, okay, and you have too. But so much of what people will fuss and fight about don't matter when it comes to eternity. Are you following me now? I tell you, you know, in any church setting, that's the way it is, because that's the devil getting in there. With pride cometh contention, you see. And it's we get in the way. Paul says, you know what, it's right for us to have this relationship that is joined together. It's the right thing. So I could spend a lot of time on that, but that would just be giving examples, and we don't need those examples because we know what we're saying, right? It's right to get along. It's right to work together. It's me. And that's what the verse is saying. Paul's focus here throughout, and I think that it ought to be our focus, is the day of Christ. Verse 6 mentions the day of Christ. Verse 10 mentions the day of Christ. And that really takes care of all of the incidental things. If we would just focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we will all individually one day stand before him. Boy, it takes care of a lot of the problems, doesn't it? It's meat. It's right. This relationship and partnering relationship that they had together. The second thing we see is the reason for this partnering relationship is seen in the verse, because it says, it's meet for me to think this of you all, referring back to the previous verses, all that he had said, and it says, because, that's a causative language, right? This is the reason, because, what's he say? I have you in my heart. That's where it is. It's a heart issue. He said, I have you in my heart. It didn't matter how far away they were and what Paul was going through, that he carried them, and they had this relationship that he loved, and loved them because he carried them in his heart. It went far deeper than surface things. And no matter what he encountered, he carried them in his heart. And Paul wasn't physically present, and those Philippian believers were carried within Paul. It's no different than even what I related to in having our kids and grandkids around over Christmas. You know, we time and distance separates us. We have a son, as you know, in Michigan. We have a daughter and her husband also in South Carolina. And, you know, they're starting to spread out on us. And it's not an easy thing to have one in Michigan and one in South Carolina now, and our daughter Carrie in North Carolina in Bible college. So they're starting to go all over the place. And we wish we could just keep them close. You following me? It's hard as a mom and dad to see them all go and to see them once a year, twice a year. If that, to see our little grandson Cody, right? Oh, he's the one near and dear to me. I don't know why. I got Eric right in our home church, our grandson Eric. Cody and Eric are only 2 months apart. But Cody's a long ways away. And so, I don't know. I wish he was close. He's a cute little bugger. But we carry them in our heart, don't we? And that's what Paul is saying. Yeah, you're a long ways off, and we're all going through this and that, and life goes on, but you're in my heart. And there's a partnering relationship that happens because of our heart, what God has done in our hearts. And that's what he's saying to them. So the resource for this partnering relationship comes next. I hope you're following the verse. I have you in my heart. And I'm going to, it says, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. There's the resource. That's how it happens. We're dependent on the grace of God. We're going to partner together. It's only right. And yes, he says the reason for that is because you're in my heart, but that's all because of God's grace that is given to us. As you follow what he is saying, this grace that he's talking, this is the word charis, and it's unmerited, unearned favor, it's this pleasure or delight. Paul received grace in the challenges of life. And in we're talking about verse 7, it talks about in his bonds. It talks about he received grace when he needed courage, because it talks about defense and the confirmation of the gospel. But also, as he says there in verse 7, in their cooperation, it also takes grace in their cooperation one with another, because he says, you all are partakers. And that word partakers means a joint partner or a companion. They're companions. They are joint partners together because of God's grace. Do you realize, and you know, I know you know this, but we'll pause on this thought just for a moment, that any time we get together as a group of people, whether it's in church or whatever it is, but especially when it comes to the things of God, we need the grace of God to partner together. We realize that we are all diverse and different. We all have different opinions and different backgrounds. And the opinions, they say, are like armpits. We all have two and they all stink. But anyway, I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. But anyway, we all have a lot of different variety to our life, and we bring that all together. And the only way that we're all going to cooperate together and work together is by the grace of God. Are you following me on that? It sure is. We need grace. Do you realize that sometimes when we don't get along with somebody, we say, why are they doing that? Why are they saying that? Why are they acting that way? What does that individual need? They need grace. And I need grace for the same reason. Grace to respond right. Grace to do what's right. Do you follow all of that? It is grace that's the resource. And we know that grace, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's by the grace of God. It's by faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We all need grace. We need to give it. We need to receive it. It's by the grace of God. That's the resource. We're only united here because of grace, faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, the grace that God gives. And that's the same that it was in Philippi, the same for the Apostle Paul in prison, and the same right here in Stratton, Maine. We're saved by grace. God's grace is supplied, or it's strengthening grace. Titus 2:12 teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We can only live for Christ today because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. It's what strengthens us. Paul knew that. Do you know that today? You cannot overcome by yourself. It's by the grace of God. We know 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, but Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, Paul realized his need of the resource of grace every day. You think about the Apostle Paul's testimony as we read through the book of Acts and how he was, you know the story. If you don't, we should review it. You should review it to know that he was persecuting Christians until he came face to face with Jesus Christ. And the Lord gloriously saved him by his grace, right? And that's why Paul could say, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. He was saved by grace. He was strengthened by grace. And praise the Lord, God's grace is sufficient too, isn't it? That's why Paul would write 2 Corinthians 12:9. You know the verse. He says, and he, God, said unto me, Paul, my grace is what? Sufficient for thee. He says, for my, God's strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. When we are weak, and when we realize our weakness, that's when God's grace is at its best. Because then we're not relying on ourselves. We're relying on God's grace. And this partnering relationship is what he is emphasizing, that fact. That partnering relationship was right. It was meet. It was fitting and proper. It was the reason for it is because it was heart closeness and communion. And because of the resource of grace. The record of that is verse 8. And we draw this point to a close. It's simply the confirmation of that, or the proof of that. It was because God is his witness. That's what he's talking about in verse 8. God is my record. God's my witness. God's the testimony of this. What he is saying is true because God knows it. You know what? God knows about you too, and God knows about me. He knows what's in my heart. He knows if I'm really relying on the grace of God. And he knows my heart toward him and toward others. God's the one that knows. So this partnering relationship was real, and God could confirm it. Paul knew that. So the second thing, that we only have two main points today, so, right? Because that was just the first one. Because out of that grows the rest of it, okay? The partnering relationship, then it's very obvious what the next one ought to be. If it's a P and an R word, and we're going to talk about prayer requests, aren't we? Of course we are. Because that's what the Bible does. It's simple. I was telling Michelle the other night, I was studying and preparing this message. I got right up from my desk. I said, I just love preparing messages. I love preaching. I love it. I hope it comes through. I don't know if it does or not, but I love it, okay? I like preparing it as much as I like preaching it. And I was sitting at my desk in a room. I got right up and I said, I just love doing this. And I go to work. I'll have to go to work tomorrow morning. I go to work because I have to. I preach because I love to. Okay, does that make sense? I don't know if you understand that or not, but I don't even know why I'm telling you that. But I like it. And this point, and this passage just comes alive to me. I hope it comes alive to you. Because we partner together, this partnering relationship that you have, when we have for the cause of Christ, we ought to be praying for one another. And the prayer requests that we have that Paul is going to outline for us, he had already said, up in verse 4, that he was praying for that. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So that was just to talk about his prayerful habit for them. So what did he pray? Well, now we find out what he prays. Okay, so now he's going to say, this is what I'm praying for you. And this is verses 9 to 11. This I pray. Okay, do you get it? It only makes sense, right? It's logical. And I tell you, I've been and heard preaching where they have to twist and turn, and they say, turn in your Bibles to, and then they read the verse, and then they say, now turn to someplace else. I don't want to do that, because all we have to do is open the Bible and preach what God says, okay? So the prayer request is this. These are the prayer requests. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So the first thing, we have really three prayer requests in these in verses 9 to 11. It's all indicated, I underlined it in my Bible just to kind of point them out. They're indicated by the word that, okay? So that. This I pray, that. And you have it three times. There's actually four that's, but three of them are prayer requests, okay? And so we'll pick through it. So first one is that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So he's saying that your love may abound, abounding love. All right? You get that's a good prayer request. That's different than praying for Aunt Matilda's gout. That was intended to be funny. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I'm not saying that Aunt Matilda's gout is not important. I don't even know if you have Aunt Matilda or if she has gout. But okay, but you know what I'm saying. We do pray for one another, and we ought to pray for one another in our physical needs, okay? It's okay to do that. So I'm not setting that completely aside. But I'm saying this is just deeper than that. It's deeper than that. That your love may abound yet more and more is a different prayer request than we typically would pray for one another. I just got to get this for Henry because it's really bugging me. He dropped it, and he doesn't want to get up and get it. So I will, all right? And it's all right. And he's praying that your love may abound yet more and more. That's different than we typically would pray at prayer meeting. Are you following what Paul is saying, what God is saying to us? The partnering relationship that they had was a heart thing. And the prayer requests are things of the heart as well. And so this whole idea, the word, we know what abound means. It means just like the riverways did about 3 weeks ago in Stratton. They overflowed. There was an abundance of water. Are you following me on that? I heard all about it. I was going to come see it, but I couldn't get to Stratton. Anyway, and so it was abound, overflowed. And it means that above the ordinary, okay, the love that he's talking about here, and I hope that you understand there's three forms of love described in the Bible, and really we experience that. This is the highest level. It's God's love, agape love, that completely unselfish, unchanging, constant love that is God's love. They already had that, you see, that abounding love. But the prayer request is that love that they already had, that they already showed, would abound yet what? More and more, that it would just simply continue. Because we all know, I trust that, you see, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, you know about God's love. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have not experienced His love yet. It's available to you, but you don't know it because it's not yours, you see. This love is God's love. It only comes from God, and God's love will flow through you. They have the love of God. You can't have unconditional love without God because it's God's love. You see it? I keep saying you see it like you're blind. But anyway, maybe I'm the one that's blind. But see, and they were already showing that, and he wants it to continue to grow, abound, to overflow, and show itself more and more and more as time would go on. Now, that really is a process. It's a process in our life. It's not something that automatically happens, but it is something that is a continuous process. And here he gives us that part of that process. That ye, where were we? In verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more, how? In knowledge, okay? So in knowledge, that's right. And this is precise or correct knowledge that. And I have to actually rely on my notes, okay? And that's this is part of it right here, because I just want to make sure I get this exactly right. It's learning the right things. It's learning precisely the truth about God. Where are you going to learn that? Through the Bible. And that's the only place. Through the Word of God. You learn about God through the Word of God. and that will be right, the right perspective, the right information, the right truth about Almighty God. We are to grow in that. And as we learn more about God, then we will increase more and more in our love for God and for one another. Okay, it's an that's where the process will continue more and more. As we learn more, we'll love more. I like that. That's alliterated too, and I didn't even plan it. We learn more, we love more. It makes sense. Does it make sense to you? It does to me. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That they may grow thereby. Just last night, we went and visited our niece and nephew. They just had their seventh child, I think. Ooh, seven kids. Who would have seven kids? Oh, yeah. And so they had their seventh child. Our niece is 44 years old. She just had a baby. And but there's that little what was her name again? Bristol, 6.5 pounds. You know what? She desires the sincere milk of her mom. And all tiny. And none of our kids were that tiny. They're just this little thing, right? And she desired the sincere milk. And so does the mom. Wants that for her, so that she may grow, so she'll grow. Oh, there's a great desire there that's instinctive, right? It's instinctive. And it ought to be that way for us as Christians, that we would desire the sincere milk of the word so that we might grow thereby. And then we'll learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge. Are you spending time in God's word, friend? Are you spending time in God's word? I tell you, I've been a Christian a long time, since I was 8 years old. You know, I never really started growing as a Christian until I took serious the Word of God. And it's the same thing for you. You know, we'll be stunted in our growth if we don't spend time gaining knowledge of who God is. And we'll never love Him more and more if we don't do that. You want to love more, love God more this year? Then spend time in His Word, gaining knowledge. And so it's a great, great prayer request. We love more and then we'll learn more. I did have it down in my notes. It's right there. Silly. Henry, why didn't you say that, huh? It's right there. And that second thing, though, is that the other part of this, okay, well, he's praying that he would love more, that they would abounding love. That's the prayer request, right? How are you going to do that? You're going to gain in knowledge. And he says in verse 9 there, and in judgments, in judgments. So what does that mean? That we sit back because now we know more, and we sit back with our arms crossed and we judge everybody. Now, that's probably what we want to do, but that's not what he's talking about. We don't achieve these levels of Bible knowledge and then we become the judge. That's not what he's saying, okay? It's not like we've reached some higher spiritual plane that we kind of gain, and now we're the judge. No. That's not at all what he's saying. The judgments is perception or our practice. It's the idea, judgments here is the idea of discernment in decisions. So it's perception based on what you've learned. You're going to make the decision based on what you know. As we learn, this is the way I put it in my notes, as we learn, we apply what we know to what we do. That's what he's talking about, okay? So we'll never change our behavior if we don't change what we know and what we're learning and what we're putting in. And then we're going to change as a result of that. Because we'll be being brought into the image of Jesus Christ. We're putting off the old man, being renewed in the spirit of mind, and putting on the new man, Ephesians 4:22-24, somewhere in there. And it's the whole process that takes place. The prayer to abound, okay? Abundant, overflowing love. Can you pray that prayer? Pray that prayer for yourself and for your family, for your church family, for those in leadership, and if you had run out of people, pray it for me. How about that? Huh? Because I need it too. Abounding love. The second prayer request is found in verse 10. Follow me now. We'll hurry up because lunch smells really good and it's distracting. And so the second thing that he says here is that ye may approve things that are excellent. So what's the prayer request? where when A words here, I'm helping you, this is like a gimme. Not only abounding love to abound, the second thing is to approve. Okay? You got it there? It's simple. God alliterates too, so I like it. All right? So that ye may approve things that are excellent. That you, so the prayer request is that they would abound and that they would approve. All right? So what are we talking about here? Approve things that are excellent. Key words are approve, first of all, which means to prove or to test or to examine. It was one of the young fellows was just saying something about a history test. He had a history test, yeah. And I forget the names, sorry, all the time. Not all of them. He had a history test. He was kind of lamenting that a little bit, I think. But that's okay. All right? So because it was a test. It tests what we know. That's what tests do. We don't like tests. Do you like tests? Do you like tests? Oh, do you like tests, Millie? Not even. Even Millie doesn't like tests, all right? That's right. None of us do. But the idea that we would be gaining in our knowledge and in all judgments is that we would approve or we would test things. And he says in the verse that are what? Excellent. That are excellent. So, and this one kind of threw me just a little bit because the word excellent actually means things that are different. You realize things that are different can't be the same? Yeah, you ever heard that kind of that saying? And it's true. And there are all kinds of things out there that are good, that are good. So we're now going to take what we know, what we've learned in knowledge and in judgment, we're going to apply that so that we might test them, approve them, to see if they're excellent because they're all different. So what is the best? I think that's how that what God is trying to communicate to us. You see, because we can all have this whole idea where, you know, preferences in my life, oh, this is what I prefer. This is what I think. But the idea is that we learn so that we might approve things that are excellent and excellent to God, you see. So there is a lot going on here in this passage, isn't it? As we learn through it and understand what is being communicated, this partnering relationship, he loves those people. God loves you and God loves us. We ought to be loving one another and we ought to be praying for one another that we would actually, that we would do exactly what he said, that our love would abound. And that we would all be aiming high, and it would be things that are excellent, things that are approved of God, I've strayed from my notes, and when I do that, it's dangerous because I had some things here. But God wants us to do these things that are overall that are best things for His glory. That's really what it is. You know, there's all. What are we just striving to get by, to see how closely with the world that we can walk? Or are we striving to live and give our best for God's glory? I think that's really what it comes down to. It's so needful in our day. You know, and this is the thought that God really impressed upon my heart. In our day and age, I think in any day and age, really, I don't think it's just our day. This prayer request and to approve things that are excellent is so, so needful. When we consider the trend in Christianity, we could say in church, kind of in a general sense, in the good and acceptable things, in that realm of things, the trend in all of that arena, we could say, is downward, is away from God's word. I'm not saying that it is in your life or it is in my life, but I'm saying the overall trend is down and away from what God says is excellent, is the best. I just ask you, and I ask as I have to ask myself, you stop and you ponder the direction of your life. Am I going toward the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I becoming more like Him? Or am I resisting that and trying to get a little bit further and closer to the world? I think that's where we have to be honest. And the prayer request is that we would abound more and more, right? That we would learn more and we would have discernment based on that, judgment based on that, that we would approve things that are excellent. Whew. I don't know how many times I've read through the book of Philippians, but I've never stopped and really checked these things out. This is deep. It's heavy. and it's also very convicting. The third thing, not only to abound and to approve, but it's to be attentive or to be alert, aware, so to speak, as it continues. And he says, because it says that, middle of verse 10, that ye may be what? Sincere. Are you following me there? Sincere and without offense. How long? Till the day of Christ. It continues, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So to be attentive, first of all, sincere and sincere without offense, all right? It's really how we present Christ. Sincere is pure or free from mixture. Get this, the word sincere, the root word in the original, this is so interesting to me, it meant tested by sunlight. And I was like, what in the world? What does that mean? That's what I said too, Gene. I was like, what is that? I mean, what does he mean? And what it was is they had would make clay pots, all right? And the guy making the clay pot, if there was like a crack or some imperfection in it, they would fill it with wax that would look just like the clay. So when it was, if it was sincere, without offense, without a problem in there, you could test it in the sunlight, because what happens when the heat hits wax? It would melt and it would show the imperfection. So to be sincere would be without any of those imperfections, you see. And oh, I tell you, I found that. So the fact this is just the way I put it, because God wants us to be alert or attentive to the fact that we're real. He wants us to be real Christians, not just putting on a show, not to be fake, so that when the trial comes, we actually survive it and we come out the other side. That's what he's talking about, sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, because Christ is coming. So this is the way I put it. Attentive in our display of Christ, we'd be real, a real follower of Jesus Christ. That's what Christian means. We're following Jesus. Then we'd be real in our display of Jesus Christ. Until the day of Christ. That's what he's saying. Till the day of Christ. Until one day when I see my Savior face to face and I give him an account of my real life, I'll be real that day. We'll be real that day. That's what he's saying, till the day of Christ. And then attentive to our dependence on Christ. Well, this is what the Lord, again, has spoken to me about in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. We produce the fruits of righteousness because we're filled with Christ. I've always used this analogy, and probably you've heard it as well. We have apple trees at our house, and they don't have to strain to produce apples. That's what apple trees produce. Do you realize that? That was pretty profound. You came all this way and sat through all this message to learn that apple trees produce apples. You don't walk by an apple tree and hear it going, I'm trying to produce an apple here. Huh? You think that's funny? I got the guys saying, they're laughing down here. I got them. Yes. But you know what? I've found, and I perhaps have even done it, trying to produce and do what is right by straining and trying. That's as foolish as an apple tree straining to produce an apple. We produce the fruits of righteousness because we're following the righteous one. And the Holy Spirit of God is filling us, and we produce the fruits of righteousness. You see it? That's what we need to be praying for one another, that we'd be Spirit-filled. That we're dependent on Christ. And what Christ is doing in me is going to produce and do what is right. So Paul here, I made it all the way to the end of my notes. It's a lot. Paul's prayer request is so much different than the typical prayer request that I pray. That we would abound. We'd have abounding love. The love that we know and we understand that we've received from Christ would continue and it would go more and more. As I learn of him and I apply what I learn, we'll just keep growing in that love for him. that we would learn to approve, to test, to examine, to determine what is best with all that's out there. And we're comparing, and it's all different, and we wonder, because we know the love of Christ and we've learned about Christ, we're going to test and see that the things are excellent, you see, what is best. And then to be attentive in my own life as we apply it to my display of Christ, what I show as I'm living as a Christian, to the day of Christ when I stand before Him, as we live that all out in our dependence on Christ, on Jesus, every single day. You know, God help us this year, 2024. Sounds like something out of Buck Rogers or something. Like we're living the future. Huh? Here we are. But here we are. And God's laid it out before us. He could return at any time. The day of Christ is upon us. Let's live for Jesus. Let's learn of Jesus and live for Jesus every single day that He gives us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You today again for speaking to us. And I pray, Lord, for these things, Lord, these things that Paul prayed at a distance for the people, the believers at Philippi that he loved so, so much. I pray that, Lord, we would abound more and more in Your love, that we would learn to approve the things that are excellent. And, Lord, we'd be attentive to our walk with You and our life for You every single day. And Lord, we admit today our weaknesses, how much we depend upon You, and how, Lord, I pray that, Lord, You'd, by Your grace that we've talked so much about, fill those voids so that we may become more what You want us to be. Lord, I pray again, as we often do, as we close this service, and maybe someone here this morning does not know the grace of God to them. They never accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray that they would today. And us as believers, Lord, would be the Christians that You desire us to be tomorrow morning, through this week, and the days to come until Your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.